There we are. Okay, welcome to the November 17th pre-meeting of our Cayucos Memorial Bay JPA group. And let the record show that all council members are present. And let's see, where do we begin? Public comment?
No public comment.
Anyone here for public comment? Guess not. Okay. Consent calendar. Did any council members have questions on any of the consent calendar items?
I have a couple, but I thought I'd just wait till the general meeting.
Okay. Nothing that needs to be resolved ahead of time. Anyone else? No? Okay. Unfinished business, the status report on the treatment. Do you want to give a report to us before we go to the main group, Bruce?
The only thing really to report is, in the staff report, I didn't have a whole lot in there. We have received the tentative decision document from US EPA, which means that once that gets public notice, the draft permit will go out. So we're kind of starting the permit renewal process again. It's kind of been in limbo for a while. We have received another version of the draft settlement agreement from Regional Board. All that came in on Friday, so staff is going to review and provide comment on that and send that back to Regional Board, I would imagine. And I think we're getting closer to an agreement. So we're making progress slowly but surely on that front. It's still going to take a while. I would imagine we're not going to get there to a Regional Board hearing until at least March, depending on when we get the draft settlement agreement kind of straightened out. But we are making progress.
And we need to make very clear that that wasn't any failing of ours. It's just their scheduling that has put this back, correct?
Yeah, the agreement's taken a little while to negotiate back and forth. And the tentative decision document from EPA was positive. It did recommend that the permit be reissued and that the treatment plant easily met the 9 criteria that it needs to meet for renewal of the permit. So all that's good.
Any questions for Bruce on that one? Nope. Okay. Then we move on to new business, our invoices. Any questions on those?
How about a little elaboration on C3?
Okay. That's Bruce again, so I guess no questions for Jim anyway, right? Anything that we need to know now for our meeting later from Jim?
I don't need to know anything from Jim, but I do have a comment.
Okay.
And that is, when you notice C1 and C2, that we give these to them by quarter, mm-hmm. and apparently by our bylaws, we have to do it at a meeting. So when we meet twice a year, they only get them twice a year. So we could be up to 6 months behind mm-hmm. on getting paid. And they have up to 30 days, so they could even be 7 months behind in their payment.
Right.
Now that we're meeting more frequently, we can give them to them more frequently, mm-hmm. which is to our benefit. However, it seems to me, as we're talking about changing the JPA a little bit, mm-hmm. that this may be one of the changes we want to make, that the payment, the bill doesn't have to go through the meeting. We could just send it to them.
How was that established? Does anyone remember how that?
That was part of the agreement.
Oh, it is. It's part of the agreement. So we'd have
to. It would be a nice clause change.
Okay.
So I just thought I'd raise that here with us and see if we think that's worthwhile to, when we go through our JPA changes, to, because this is a good example of that.
Okay. How's the rest of the council feel on that?
That brings up a question. Does it have to be presented to them in a joint meeting, or do they just have to approve it in a meeting?
Joint meeting.
So my suggestion is that we don't present it in a meeting, that we just mail it to them monthly, and then they have their 30 days to decide if they want to pay it, and it doesn't have to go through the meeting at all.
Is that correct, or does it have to go through a meeting?
No, that's how you'd like to change it.
That's how I would like to change it.
And so it's on our radar to try to get that change. Mm-hmm. But like you said, if we're meeting more often in 2006 and 2007, we can present them more often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do we have a timeline for when we're going to be discussing the JPA changes?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. I didn't know, quite honestly. Okay. Well, that's a thought, though. When should we start looking at that? Mm-hmm. Because it needs to be quickly. Is that going to be a subcommittee, too? I thought it was.
Well, that's what I didn't know, if it was or if we were going to do it as a whole.
I think it's a subcommittee first.
Okay. Okay. So, subcommittee, you can agendize that anytime you want to, then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I think the direction we had at one of the subcommittee meetings, or at least internally, was to maybe pick that up after the first of the new year, that we had a kind of enough going on that we could work on the agreement, and then potential that you're going to get state or federal funding down the road. The state and federal government consulting procurement code says it has to be a qualifications-based criteria. Once you select the most qualified firm, you would actually, and I'm not sure if this is the exact terminology, but you would basically an award and a contract to that consultant, and then you would negotiate a cost proposal. In the RFP that is sitting in front of you, actually, we'll have some idea of what the budgetary number is based on the fact that we've asked for a schedule of each of the tasks with the manpower or the staffing requirements and the rate schedule. So we'll be able to calculate a rough estimate of what we think the proposal is going to cost. But I've sat down with both legal counsel for the City of Morro Bay and the Cayuca Sanitary District, Mr. Boucher, the Capital Projects Coordinator. I've reviewed the Caltrans procurement procedures, looked up a bunch of stuff on the federal and state guidelines, and basically they're telling you that you can't use cost as a selection criteria. So it's a little different than what we've done in the past. The RFP also includes, you know, there was a request for tertiary treatment to look at both partial tertiary and total tertiary treatment as an alternative. This RFP also looks at any treatment requirements necessary beyond tertiary treatment to get that water to a reclaimed water quality standard that you can use. There are requirements put out by Regional Board and the Basin Plan that have a limit on total dissolved solids. If at the present time we could probably meet that Basin Plan requirement, if we went back to strictly well water, the TDS tends to rise, and you may or may not be able to use that water for irrigation or one of those purposes. So there's another. I've included that in the RFP. And with that, you know, I just open it up for questions.
Okay, any questions for Bruce? Kelly?
Yeah, I have a few. It might have helped if I'd picked this up before 3 o'clock this afternoon, but to ask you to just clarify that this is an RFP for proposals to choose somebody who will then create the facility master plan, or is this an RFP for the actual facility master plan?
This is actually a request proposal that actually has a request for qualifications and a technical proposal included in it. So the proposers will bring back, I have a scope of work in here, mm-hmm. for the actual facilities master plan, and their proposal will be based on that scope of work.
Yeah, I read through the document. I just didn't have time to call you up. That's why I was noting at 3 o'clock. Well, I was wondering, because if it's a whole facility master plan, we give them something like 6 weeks to do it. There's a January 6th date in the staff report and January 10th in the RFP itself, but is that a reasonable expectation with the holidays and everything?
Well, that's a good question, and I've actually received that question from the Cayuca Sanitary District. The time schedule itself actually has about, from the issuance of the RFP to the award of contract, they have about an 8 to 10 week period listed in there. And if people think I'm being unreasonable and making the consultants work over the holidays, we can easily back it up a week or two. The tentative schedule that's outlined in there that I have, issue the RFP, receive proposals, review proposals, all that's kind of flexible. And I think once you get into the later dates, it may change a little bit based on what a meeting date is or whether how many proposals we receive and how fast we can work through that process.
Okay, and we can talk more about that later.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I need to get clear probably at the later meeting, too, about this cost thing, because I think it was on, you list in here costs.
What page are you on, Melody?
I'm trying to find it right now. It's oh, heck. Well, I could let somebody else ask a question while I look for this, but... costs are in here. Or is this having a...
If you look on page 12, under award of contract, there is a discussion of a cost proposal, but that occurs after you have selected the consultant.
But if they're I'm going to save the cost thing till later, because I believe that one of the main reasons why we have secondary, partial, tertiary was to look at the difference in cost.
Yeah, that's correct, and I think, you know, the differentiation there.
Bruce, are you saying that the study itself will be paid differently, or do you mean the facility will be paid? The study fees will be negotiated, or the facility fees will be negotiated?
We're going to get the most qualified consultant based on the scope of work.
Right.
They're going to outline their project approach. They're going to give you a schedule. They're going to tell you what they're going to do. Then we're going to look at that proposal, and based on the evaluation criteria included in here, we will select a consultant. We will go through and award a contract. They will tell you how much their proposal, their work project is going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue is how much of that total project cost is the city going to pay versus how much of that total project cost is the district going to pay.
And when you say project, you mean the building of the facility?
No, actually the facility's master plan, because this...
Master's plan.
Yeah.
Okay. If we're separating these out into secondary, partial, and tertiary for the benefit of Cayucas, then why wouldn't they just split this study 50-50 with us?
I think in the beginning, at the last meeting, my understanding was that they wanted us to go through the motion that wasn't a motion. The direction to staff was to bring back a planning document that would look at secondary, partial, tertiary, and tertiary treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And at that meeting, my understanding was at first the district was unwilling to even look at partial, tertiary treatment, but they said if we could get the costs out on the table and they weren't too extreme, they may or may not participate in them. And in either way, it's not going to be paid on the basis of 50-50. It's going to be, I would imagine it's going to be flow-based on how you pay for the study and not capacity-based. Because in the past, all the studies that we've conducted, I believe, have been based on the flow-based, flow rata share, however much flow you have coming in the plant. So it's going to be more like 75-25 on the costs for the total study.
And so the study, regardless of the different levels, they'll still pay their 25, we'll pay our 75. Like our cost isn't going to increase because we're studying tertiary.
It may increase because you're studying tertiary.
Okay, I don't get that, because they wanted that broken out.
Well, you know what? If you look at the last bullet on page 5, it says include detailed cost estimates for each of the treatment alternatives identified, as well as the cost for rehabilitation and modernization of the remaining plant. The third sentence says the cost estimate should clearly differentiate. No. The cost estimate should include somewhere in here. I thought I had something about where we need to be able to differentiate the costs, so that the district and the city know which part of the study they're going to be entering into. My understanding of this is that I haven't heard the district commit to studying tertiary treatment until they see the costs. And so I've always kind of gone into this with this uneasy feeling that sooner or later we're going to have to sit down and negotiate who's paying for what portion of this project contract. And we have, at this point in time, we have not done that, to my knowledge.
Yes, Rob.
Yeah, I'll just add a few, and I've got a little scenario with San Simeon District in Cambria that might help. I don't think they have said that they would study or want in the facility plan yet tertiary. I think once we get our qualified consultant, we negotiate with them, we'll negotiate to do a facility plan to get us to secondary treatment and what it would cost to give us a facility plan to tertiary, and then Cayucas is going to say, okay, we'll jump in if it's only $20,000 more, $25,000, or they'll say, no, we're not going to. And I think that's where it's going to be on them to decide whether they're in tertiary or not. But I will say what happened in San Simeon and Cambria when we were studying the DSAL, there was a component of it that we said, no, we're not in on that, and Cambria had to pick up the 100% for the environmental review and got way down the line, and then all of a sudden San Simeon changed their mind and said, we do want to be part of it. And so Cambria went back and recalculated all the environmental studies we didn't pay for and billed us. So that's a possibility if we continue to study the tertiary and do things and Cayucas isn't aboard, and then at a later date they say they're on board, we could always go back and charge them. But I think the first step is we'll through this process, we'll get the qualified consultant, then we will negotiate a couple of different prices, and then it'll come to the boards for approval of that contract, and it's going to be up to Cayucas on whether they're aboard, and that's going to be the first step where they're going to have to make a decision on whether they're aboard in that study. And hopefully the prices aren't that much different to do that little bit extra study that they continue to be on board with us. But we'll just have to wait and see. Does that make it kind of clear?
It's clear, but I'm still challenging the assumption that they've...
payment. At least in my mind, I think that's a dispute between Cayucas and AGP that they need to resolve. And, you know, if they try to drag us into it, I'd rather not at this point in time. That's for them to work out. And it's the meetings that are up there, you know, mm-hmm. So it's kind of on their dime to figure out how to do it. Our JPA meetings that we don't even bill the wastewater treatment plant. There's a question of whether they should be covering the JPA meetings, but we've always just done it out of the general fund. So I'd rather not get into one more dispute with Cayucas if we could. And that's, I don't know if it'll come up or not. It's not on the agenda or not, and I don't know if their staff will bring it up, but I'd rather...
So we did mention it as a future agenda, I think.
Who did?
I think I did.
At the last meeting, we said we'd talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I see it as a dispute between the two, but I'm not that familiar with the issue that much, but to me it seems like it's theirs, and we can't order Cayucas to pay for it.
Well, the impression I got, and I don't know if AGP can weigh in on this, but the impression I got was that they were going to take care of it,
good.
Probably without it going on the agenda.
Good. That's
so,
what I would hope.
That's what the minutes said.
Is that? Do you have that impression, Nancy? Or sorry, I'm asking you to be tech and participate.
Hang on. Let me figure out how to do this. I wrote a letter to them. We're supposed to. We talked. Bonnie and I talked briefly. About the issue. She was going to talk to the board last night and see if they could resolve it and recognize it as just a issue to be solved by that board.
Okay.
Or they may decide that they need to bring it back. And I apologize for any confusion, but it was a verbal, in my mind it was a verbal, let's improve the quality of the meetings that are held in Cayucas,
right.
But it wasn't written down several years ago, and so now we're at the place where we have to figure out what we're going to do,
okay.
Because it is an added expense for our company to take our audio equipment up there. The city provides the audio for all meetings held in Morro Bay, and that's just what we worked on before, so...
I think there's also going to be an issue in that we are going to be meeting more frequently, so that's going to require more of the company's time. So I don't know if that's going to be something we'll need to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep us posted outside of the meeting, and if we need to bring it back somehow publicly, we will. Okay. All right. Yes,
can I just make one more comment that last night at PWEB, I think PWEB was last night, right? Bill Callahan of the Sanitary District made a presentation about odor control along North Main.
Oh, good.
And they've kind of implemented a new system, and I think from everything I've heard, it appears to be working better than anything that they've had going in the past. And I kind of prompted Bill to maybe do a little song and dance at the meeting tonight if you so desire, but I just thought I'd bring it to everybody's attention that they are working on that. It will probably mean a slightly higher. We have needs at the plant that their old chemical met demands for, so our cost may increase slightly at the plant, but I think if they can get rid of the odor on North Main, that's a big step forward for everybody, because it has been a problem for a long time.
How much is slightly?
Oh, it could be $5,000 a year more in chemical costs for us. But the district's going to end up paying 25% of that cost, because we'll probably keep that within the confines of the plant. So we might have to put a new tank in, and we might have to do some, you know, minor infrastructure stuff. But we can do all that in-house. I think we have that in. We can work that through the budget that we have for this fiscal year. But I think the slight additional costs are definitely offset by the odor being gone, or at least greatly reduced.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else? Then we will adjourn until 7 o'clock.
I meant to keep those chairs. This could stay in the car, and the computer could tell me what it is I'm supposed to be doing.
Not just sit up straight.
We have those other seats where they're higher.
Okay, this is the November 17th meeting of the Joint Powers Agreement, Cayucas and Morro Bay, and let the record show that all of the City Council members are present. Mr. Evans?
Okay. Could we pull A3 for comment?
All right. All right, so we just won't pass anything yet. Betty, A2.
Just a few questions. On page 3, the place with all the dots down towards the last half of the page, I wasn't aware where there might be asbestos in the plant. Where would those be?
It is. It actually isn't in the plant itself. It's actually in the effluent is actually sampled for asbestos. So they cover a real wide range, I think, of about 170 different chemical constituents.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I believe, part of the priority pollutants that's required by either regional board or EPA. So that's included in the report every time.
Is that usually minimal, or do we have...
It's non-detect, I believe.
Okay. Recent catch that the NEP sampling did after the first rain showed a lot of contaminants coming out of Morro Bay. Does that affect us this time of year in terms of our what we end up reporting, or are chemicals higher percentage-wise than normal?
No. What the NEP reported, and I have a copy of the report, but I haven't really done a thorough review of it yet, is actually what's coming off the streets and into the
mm-hmm.
storm drains.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it rains, especially in a rainfall of like that magnitude that we had, we don't get very much water inflow into the sewer system, so we don't see a big change in those constituents. And actually, if you look at our track record over 20 years, we probably have about 10 constituents that are picked up consistently, and most of those are trace metals.
Mm-hmm.
One component's a plastic, part of a phthalate, and that's really about it over that the whole course of the 170 constituents that we sample.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that there, and maybe it's because it's been cleaned up, there was a point where we were having some influx between 41 and Main, was it? That from the runoff that was going into the sewer, but that's been fixed?
Yeah, the 41 and Main situation actually was infiltration coming into the pipe. So that's relatively clean water.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we picked that whole situation up was it had MTBE in it,
mm-hmm.
but it's relatively devoid of any other pollutants.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff coming off the streets, obviously because, there's exhaust and mm-hmm. a number of ways of sources for that stuff to get in or onto the street. We don't get, even in rainfall situations, inflow will be a fairly minor portion of our total flow for the day. So we're not getting a bit, we're not picking up a bunch of that stuff.
Good. Thank you. I think that was pictures. Oh, and On the end, where it's the monthly report for September, I just noticed that the quality seemed to be better in September than the two previous months significantly. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, basically a lot of our, if you look at the average, I don't know if the average flow shows it, but if you look at the average flow for July and August, we average 1.347 million gallons per day for July and 1.248 for August, and we drop down to 1.135 for September. Those flow rates definitely impact treatment plant efficiency. We ran we were very efficient all through the summer this year, mm-hmm. but June, July, and August are basically our most difficult operational months because we have a higher tourist base. Mm-hmm. You generally have less rainfall or infiltration into the system for dilution, mm-hmm. and it's pretty constant. Flow rates stay higher all summer long. Mm-hmm. So this time of year, September, October, November, we run extremely well. But throughout that period, we average less than the full secondary treatment standards for suspended solids. So we actually made that criteria,
mm-hmm.
And we're slightly above for the BOD constituent, which has been kind of consistent with past history.
Yeah. So quantity does make a difference, even if it's a percentage, in the percentages.
Yeah, definitely, because okay. The treatment plant's operating at a higher level mm-hmm. of its hydraulic capacity.
Mm-hmm. And my last question is, I've noticed a number of training sessions of the fire department down at the facility. Is that done for free, or do we charge the city?
No, we just, we have a lot of, at the present time, kind of in the dirt parking area by the secondary clarifier, we have a lot of room.
Mm-hmm.
So we've allowed the fire department to come in and do some car trainings there, and they bring a car in, they clean it up when they're done,
mm-hmm.
and then they've asked to use our facility for like confined space training and rescue type operations, because we're an industrial setting,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really have access to other facilities, and
mm-hmm.
My guys might need them someday, so we're more than happy to let them do it.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions on this one from council? I had a comment, actually, that I thought was rather interesting, that the biosolids, our composted biosolids, are meeting the federal, state, and local regulations for exceptional quality. I thought that was really neat. And also the fact that the contractor for the Los Osos Sewer Project delivered green waste to the plant that's being used in that composting. That's a great way to recycle everything from everywhere around here.
Yeah, green waste has been... the hardest part of our composting operation is trying to get enough green waste to keep the process going.
Mm-hmm.
And when we found out what they were doing on the Los Osos site, we put a call into them, and they basically dropped it off for free. So
that's great. Wonderful. Okay. Over to you.
All right, Bill.
Previously in the budgeting process, you get big, large insurance bills, and then they're allocated sub. And we'd just like to see how it was allocated to these specific accounts. That's all.
Okay. Does either of our staff members have any knowledge on that? Okay. So we'll come back on that. Did you want to hold off approval on that until you get that, or is that something that we can...
Well, we were going to discuss that when we come to that.
Okay.
The invoice.
All right. Anything else over on your side?
No.
All right. Then may I hear approval? We can approve all three, A1 through A3.
I move approval of all consent agenda items.
Second.
Let's give it to Bill. They're both pointing at each other. Daddy and Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None.
Okay, Cayuca, same motion.
I move that we approve the consent calendar.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
All right. Moving on to unfinished business, the status report on the full secondary upgrade, the 9.5-year time schedule.
Before we go on, who made the second for Cayucas?
Sorry.
Now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Bruce?
This staff report deals with basically the status report on the compliance schedule that we turned into regional board and the ongoing NPDES permit renewal process. At the time the staff report was written, I didn't really have a whole lot to report, as nothing had appeared from EPA or the regional board. Last Friday, I actually received a copy of the tentative decision document that's produced by US EPA. That document is used to determine whether or not the plant and its monitoring program meet the criteria for a permit renewal with a modified discharge permit, a 301H modified discharge permit. Overall, the report was very positive about our discharge, and that we do meet the criteria for continued renewal of that permit. At the present time, I'm having Dr. Coates at Marine Research and myself review that document and prepare comments. It is not a public document at this point in time. It will be public noticed as part of the NPDES permit renewal process. So following that, we also have submitted copies on a draft settlement agreement to regional board staff, trying to memorialize the time schedule that was adopted in June of this year. We have provided comments. We received an original draft from regional board, legal counsel. City and district staff provided comment on that document and sent it back to regional board, and regional board has returned that document to us with their comments. We received it on Friday. We're going to be reviewing and discussing and providing comments again. I think overall it's very positive, but we still have a few items that we need to sit down and talk about. So hopefully we'll be able to bring something back in the near future in terms of the draft settlement agreement to the two boards. When we have come to at that point in time, when the boards agree on the language in the draft settlement agreement, the permit renewal process will basically formally begin again, and regional board staff will release a draft NPDES permit. They'll release the tentative decision document, and it will go out for public comment. After public comment period, it can go to the regional board meeting for approval of the permit. So my guess is at this point we're probably looking at March of 2006 at the earliest for getting the permit renewal process in front of regional board. And in the meantime, as we learn more, we'll bring it back to these two boards for approval or direction. But that's about where we stand right now.
Okay. I have a question. It's my understanding that the regional board rotates where it meets. Will this issue necessarily be here in San Luis?
The original, they had hoped to get us on the February agenda, and that would have actually been held in Salinas. So we may or may not be in San Luis Obispo. Hopefully we'll be in San Luis Obispo because it's easier for our staffs to get there. But it may or may not be there depending on the schedule.
Any other questions? Okay. Cayucas.
Any questions from Cayucas? Seeing none, I'll return it to you.
All right, and this is just a receive and file, so we can move on. New business, invoice for the first quarter, 2005-2006.
President, Mayor, can we change the order and talk about, there's been an expense in the fourth quarter for $11,070, which related to the financial audits recorded in that account. And we like that reclassified out of that account into the proper account, 6103, which is financial audit expenses. Doesn't change the bottom number, it just puts it where it belongs. Right now it's where the testing of Bruce's affluent expenses are going, and we think it should go where the financial expenses belong. Shouldn't be a big deal. The other points we'd like to make, I have to look at a couple pages now. Okay, that was the first one. Oh, we have a series here that we talked about in the budgeting process, and now it's happened again. And I'll give account numbers. Account number 8510, there's a budget for $30,000, but there's no expense. Account number 6104, there's a budget for $25,000, no expense. But that one's okay because that was the cogen, so that one will go past. I'm sorry for bringing it up. Account number 6499, there's a budget of $24,587, but there's zero expense. And we think they should be reflected in the fourth quarter statement if there's really expenses there, or why do we keep budgeting the items that have no expenses? They shouldn't be budgeted.
Bruce, do you have any insight to offer there, or do we need to consult with Jim and come back on this?
I think the 8510 and the 6499 are coming out of finance, and the engineering services, like Mr. Jabot indicated, we actually had budgeted money in there because of the potential cogen project for developing an RFP, and that whole process kind of changed right at the beginning of the year. And we didn't have any. Normally, we have about $5,000 in there just for any emergency engineering services we might need. So I think that's why there's no expense in that line item.
We suspect on the other two line items there's going to be a post-audit adjustment and a future billing. And we'd like to have it the first time around instead of a post-audit adjustment. So we're recommending non-payment of this quarter's invoice until those two accounts are rectified or certified that there will be no expense, or there really is an expense, which we expect there is an expense.
Is there a history of that? Adjustments at the end of the year?
If my memory serves me right, 3 years ago there was expenses and no budget, and then starting 2 years ago there's been budgets and no expenses for these two accounts. We went through this in the budgeting cycle earlier in the year.
You know, I think if... I can't quote it straight out of the JPA agreement, but there's language in there that basically says you can pay the invoice, and at the end of the year or at the beginning of the year, after the audit or as it's the numbers are finalized, that you can actually either credit or debit the next invoice. Does that make sense? I think there's something in the JPA that addresses this issue, basically, but I don't look at that end of it very often, so.
I think you're right. Who's going to get discretionary into
it? Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of new at all this, but I'm wondering what is paying your bill have to do with the methods of accounting, so that if you owe a certain amount of money because of services, and you're just saying that you want these two accounts switched from one place to the other, or you want an accounting of why we have an expense but no, money budgeted but no expenses, I don't see that these two things are relevant. One is an invoice for services rendered, and the other one is a question that, frankly, would have to go back to our finance person who does this accounting. I think they're reasonable questions. I think I would probably agree with you on the audit one, except that I don't have any idea where those numbers came from. And as you say, the bottom line remains the same, basically.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that one. The last two, where there's a budget and there's no expense, we believe there's an expense, and we'd like to be billed in the correct time period versus a bill come some months later. That's where we're coming with the last two account numbers, which, if you like, I repeat them again.
Oh, now I'm confused. You want to be billed?
Account number 8510 and account number...
To the meeting, we could have the answer to your question.
Okay.
If you could send that in writing or something, email
right.
us and let us know, then we can come prepared with the answer.
Okay, let me clarify. Account 6106 is contractor services, and account 6499 is other insurance.
So those are the two that you're concerned about?
Right.
Okay. And you expect that there should be expenses there?
Yes, that's what we're anticipating.
Just for clarification, originally you said account number 8510.
and account 6499.
Yeah, that was a reclass. That's where the...
The reclass would be from 6106 to 6103, which wouldn't change the budget, the invoice amount.
Correct. Understand.
But the 8510 and the 6499 are the ones that you want clarification on.
Okay. Thank you.
I think you
that's correct.
You.
That's you're right.
8410 and 6499.
Right.
Okay.
And what that does, it allows us to know what those expenses are so that we can pay you.
Right. Now, I have no problem with you wanting to pay us. If we know in advance, then we can have the information.
Yeah, we just don't want to find out 3 or 4 months from now that we owe you another, in this case, a total of, it's budgeted at $30,000 and $24,000, a little over $24,000, so right. It's close to $50,000, $50,000 that we'd like to know how much of that do we actually owe you
okay.
so that we can pay you.
All right, and is the same situation on C1? Is that?
Yes.
Can I jump in here with a little question? The total of these two invoices is $188,500. And I'm aware that by some nuance in the agreement, we might have to wait till the next meeting. Could we be assured that once your questions are answered by our financial officer, that we could then expect payment for these invoices since they're delivered here?
Absolutely, because that's always been the case. As soon as we got answers, we approved them.
Okay, because I don't think we would like to suffer waiting around for $188,000.
Well, not only that, we could do that at our regular meeting, and so you won't have to wait 3 months.
Good.
And the mayor's question on the next one, C1, the four accounts there are 6401, 6411, 6473, 6499, which is what we talked about earlier. We'd just like to see the calculation of how the expense was derived. Those all do with insurance.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, I'll return it to you, Mayor.
All right. And, all right, any other questions from Morave? Comment? Okay. We will move on to C3. And this is Bruce, our consideration to issue a request for proposals.
The item that we have here is to get approval for the facility master plan, the RFP, the request for proposal for a facility master plan, and to get direction from the boards to proceed with the consultant procurement process by actually public noticing the RFP. The RFP is designed to solicit consultants, one of which will be hired to actually develop a facilities plan, and in that development process they will look at various treatment alternatives, anywhere from secondary, partial, tertiary, full tertiary, and then make a recommendation based on that analysis and bring that back to the board so that at the end of this time, when the facility master plan is done, you will have a recommended treatment upgrade alternative. So the RFP is a little bit different than we have proceeded in the past, in that because we will be looking at state and federal funding for this project, either grants or loans, we need to follow the guidelines for procuring a consultant for architectural and engineering services per state and federal guidelines. The recommended process for that is that we provide, we request qualifications, we provide a scope of work as to what we would like to see done at the end of the time. When the proposals come back, the selection criteria that we use will not contain cost. So we're looking for the most qualified consultant, not necessarily the lowest priced or price-based proposal. We will have we have requested in the proposal that they provide a detailed schedule of the tasks, based on water quality and effluent data that we have, and that we've looked at in the past, you may need additional treatment in order to, beyond tertiary treatment, in order to meet total dissolved solid standards for reclaimed water use. So I've included that in the RFP and the scope of work. I did ask for detailed cost estimates for each of the treatment alternatives in terms of what it would cost to implement those alternatives. And the scope of work also asked that the study cost for secondary, partial, tertiary treatment be easy to differentiate so that at some point in time when we go to negotiate who's paying for this study and how much each agency is going to be responsible for or is willing to pay for, we will be able to break those costs out. So with that, I'll turn it over to questions.
Okay, any questions from City Council?
I have a lot.
Betty?
Okay. Yeah, I have several questions. I just want to say, as a layperson, I could understand the RFP, so thank you for making it clear. Just a question about why the 20-year period and not longer. Is that standard 20 years? We just did a power plant for 50 years. Is 20 seems so short?
Well, in response to the first comment, next time I'll make it a little more confusing. when we went into the time schedule, I attempted to get. I always think of like the longest possible window that you can plan for, mm-hmm. and according to planners and engineers, 20 years appears to be the standard operating window of planning. And I think Mr. Ambom he's nodding his head. So
probably because technology changes.
Yeah, and I think in our case you're looking actually at a little longer than 20 years because by the time we go through this design process, we get the facilities master plan built. You're talking about by the time the plant's built in 2015, you're actually talking about, we're stretching the window out a little bit. So I think you're really looking more at about a 30-year window, but the document itself is going to be 20 years specific, I think.
Mm-hmm. On page 3. It's a summary, and the next to the last paragraph, it speaks about that this will be a 20-month process, and that 10 months will be for the completion of the draft, and then the next 10 months is actually for public input and review and those things.
That's correct.
Are you with me? It seems to me that the public involvement actually should be a little earlier, that they're not going to have any input into this not that they help evaluate what's the best project, but what they're going to get is already a done deal. So why have the review, the public review? Is there no place for public review sooner?
The time schedule as outlined by Corello Engineers basically put the public involvement after the publication of the draft facilities plan. So you're basically going to gather a lot of data. The consultant's going to analyze costs, different treatment alternatives, and then come back and say, hey, this is what we recommend. Mm-hmm. And then I think before that document gets sent to regional board or goes out for the environmental review process, you bring the public in to say, hey, we like it, we don't like it. And I'm not exactly sure how that those two processes kind of come together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think what Ms. Windholtz might be looking at is something I'm seeing here. It's not just the completion of the draft. It's also and the selection of a treatment process alternative. And I know that's of a lot of concern to many people in the public, which of the alternatives would be chosen. And so I'm not understanding here why there isn't some overlap so that the public is more involved as we select an alternative.
Well, I think that that is certainly doable as we go through the development of the facilities plan because as it's outlined right now, the consultant would bring back the document at like 33, 66, and basically 95% completion. So I think that as you get into the 33 and 66% completion, they're going to look at long-term data from flow and capacity requirements first, and then I think they're going to look at the existing capabilities of the treatment plant, then come up with some alternatives, and I think someplace in that process you could open it up to have public involvement.
But if it's not stated in here, will it happen?
Yeah, I would think so.
Nothing overlapped. And I had suggested that he could compress things or overlap some of the bars in that schedule a little bit. And as long as I know that we can be freed up from, you know, first this thing, then this thing, and that we can let these things kind of interweave a bit. Yeah.
Can I ask a question or interject something along Betty's comment, your question? I think what you're seeking is at some point that the various alternatives can be presented to the public and they get insight to it, not necessarily they're going to bring a different alternative, but they'll see what's going on and what's being studied. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Bruce and Bruce have said, that yes, we can do that. And I understand your comment, if it's not in the chart, will that happen? Mm-hmm. But I think the reality is we need to get more information, and then we as the governing bodies need to make it happen when it comes apparent that we have enough information.
I wasn't looking for a specific timing, but just in the plan itself.
Right.
Where does
right.
that fall?
Any other questions from council?
I do.
Okay.
The criteria for choosing which of these alternatives that the consultants is going to recommend is about, I'm on page 4, the bottom of the third paragraph. It talks about reliability, cost-effective, and long-term. It doesn't express anything about our values, that we find that this is the better option to go because this is how we view our environment. Is that not... I'm getting the feeling in reading this that this is all going to be cost-based and there's no other evaluative criteria.
I think, actually, if you look at it, you know, there are environmental impacts... Public acceptance and professional judgment are listed there. And I think the reason I put this in, and it was actually a comment that came from the city engineer, is that he wanted to, when the product came back and we were looking to see whether the consultant had satisfied the scope of work, he wanted to have some criteria in there to say, hey, did you look at it from energy efficiency standpoints or environmental impacts? And I think that staff and certainly the district and the city council are going to have input into what the ultimate project selected is going to be. And it may not be the most cost. You may come up and say, hey, we want to do a slightly more expensive project because we like it for these mm-hmm. reasons. And that's one of the reasons I tried to lay out as many treatment alternatives as mm-hmm. possible, so that when you get those numbers back, even though it may be more cost-effective to do alternative B, mm-hmm. if alternative D is more open to public acceptance and more reflective of the values that you have, you're certainly capable of choosing that alternative.
But he will be, or she, will be referring one of those options to us. And their judgment's going to be based solely on cost?
My experience in the past, especially with the water... recycling study we did in 1999, I believe, is that when they bring back the alternative, well, before they bring back the alternatives, you sit down as a group and decide what your criteria will be, so that you can actually, once you get the five alternatives laid out, you'll have a matrix or a scoring table to say, hey, you know, we put this one higher than this one because of these things. And I think that is open to certainly to staff input and council and board input, I would assume. Is that really, I mean, it's our project, and mm-hmm. and what I tried to do was outline basically what we wanted and some of the criteria that we would use, but mm-hmm. this is a very flexible document, and I think what you're going to see is, depending on the consultant that proposes, they could propose any number of scenarios on how mm-hmm. to get this work product back to us.
And so the consultant will know that discussion about having the input from us in terms of the value laden as well as the financial?
And if you have language to suggest to put in there, I'm certain we could insert something in there.
Because I didn't see this body getting involved until after all that work was done. And I didn't see where we would have input for that.
Well, I think that's where staff has to do some interpretation of where we think council wants us to go or the district wants us to go and try and provide that input to the consultant as we go. Because really, you know, this is a very generic in a lot of ways. I mean, there's a lot of specific criteria in here, but it's very generic in terms of evaluate the plant, come up with some alternatives, and then let's evaluate the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, you're going to get a chance, or staff certainly going to get a chance to
process or any other criteria we need. And then not only that, if we're going through the process at any time and you don't feel there is public participation or there's something criteria that's not being evaluated, you can always do an amendment to the contract through, you know, if there's a majority of the board or district that wants to do that. So I think we're a couple, I know where you want to go, but you're a couple steps ahead in this, and that really this is just the first step to get proposals for people that want to prepare this study and to evaluate those from a professional standpoint.
And they don't need to know what our intent is at this point.
I think they've got the general concept of it. But I think there's still a lot of in-betweens that still need to be negotiated in that contract, and it's a fluent document that sometimes changes, just as it is with any study, and sometimes, you know, that might call for three public hearings, and you say that's not enough, we need one more, and sometimes you have to add to it through this process.
Melody, did you have a question?
I asked the question about the timeline on acceptance of proposals, and the RFP gives us only until January 10th, and you had told us that generally we give 8 to 10 weeks, and so 8 to 10 weeks would have me out till about the middle of January, and 10 would have me at the end of January. And when I asked about this earlier, you said that you were citing the Carollo timeline. But I don't know that the Carollo timeline gave 8 to 10 weeks with Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's right in the middle of it. So I was wondering if we could extend out the timeline till probably the end of January, January 30th, for the best opportunity to get the best kinds of responses.
Yeah, I don't see that as a problem. I could put a bah humbug in here right under that little line item.
Yeah.
But it's easy enough if you want to. If everybody feels that 2 more weeks would be appropriate, it's easy enough to back the schedule up and give them a couple more weeks to get the proposals in.
I don't even think we're backing the schedule up. I don't want to give that impression, because you said earlier, I thought that Carollo had said 8 to 10 weeks for this phase. So 10 weeks from now is the end of January.
So they gave 10 weeks from issuing proposal to awarding contract.
Right.
And the way this works out, we're not awarding contract until February 23rd, as this schedule is outlined. But really, I don't see that as
the actual award of it.
Yeah, I don't see it as being a big deal. And in all fairness, the district has raised that issue as well. They think that consultants should have holidays. I wanted them to work over the holidays. But I could certainly move it back to say like January 24th, and then just step everything backwards.
I think that's a good idea. And earlier in your report here, you said that we're basically a year ahead of schedule, so a couple of weeks won't hurt anything. And we in Cayucas, with our landscaping contract recently, we didn't get very many bidders. And I think a couple more weeks, if it opens more bidders, it serves us all.
All right. Betty?
On page 6, when it talks about delivering the finished products, it only mentions, unless I'm misreading this, that we're going to get one electronic version at the end of it. It seems at the draft stage it would be nice to have it on disk as well.
Most of the time, the other studies I've done, they've actually forwarded most of that stuff electronically anyways. Mm-hmm. The electronic disk version is actually, so if we wanted to print more copies at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of, I mean, so much stuff is done by email now. A lot of that stuff is coming electronically to us anyways.
So you don't feel it has to be in here?
No.
It's understood.
All
And that, I guess that leads into my question on page 8 when you talk about communications, that you don't want anyone talking or you would prefer limited telephone conversations. So just if we have questions, we do it in writing or email. They do that with you.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think that is intended to any communications put in writing is then sent out to all the proposing consultants, anybody that's picked up a proposal, so that there's no unfair advantage to one consultant versus another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Excuse me, can I ask a question? Bruce, in that area, I'm used to some contracting with the government from the military side. And after the RFP is released, usually there is no communications between any of the contractors and the contract and the selecting body. So that means that everybody is treated equal that way, which I know you said you're trying to do. So I think what you really got to do is have zero communications unless it's in writing, and then we would have the responsibility to submit those questions to all the other bidders on the thing. Because if you allow it to be casual in any way, shape, or form, you're setting yourself up for criticism. Just a word there. I think for a level of effort of this size, I think five is very small. And you just keep your bandwidth open there a little bit to increase that number of people.
Got it. Okay. Any other questions? No? Okay. Cayucas.
Cayucas, any other specific questions?
Yeah, I like Betty. Only got this a couple days ago, so I only read it today. Bruce, I think you already explained, but I'm a student of life, and I'd like to on page 4 that word after full tertiary.
It's a term coined by our capital projects coordinator, quaternary. It's the next level of treatment. And it would probably be on the order of an RO unit in order to remove salt or something of that nature.
Well, that begs a question that comes up 3 or 4 times in here about you're asking them to project all the requirements for this 20-year timeline period, and that's not reasonable, is it? I hear the words, but I don't think it's possible.
Well, you know, I think from my standpoint, for a 20-year planning window, secondary treatment is probably going to be adequate. You could probably get away with going to full secondary treatment and meeting the federal and state guidelines for the next 20 years. If, in order for those standards to be rescinded and tighter standards to be implemented, they would affect about 16,000 wastewater treatment plants across the country, and I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of hollering on that. I think that in terms of maybe Title 22, which is reclaimed water standards, they can probably project out as far as they can. And you know, I think you're right. It's we're looking for the best crystal ball we can, and whether it's 10 years or 20 years, we're asking for 20 and probably hoping we get 10.
Bruce, what we're really asking for is 30 years, right?
Well,
I mean, you get the 10-year planning cycle, then the 20 years of the plant. So from today, it's really a 30-year process, isn't it?
Yeah, you're looking at a very long-term period of time. But you know, we're asking for their best professional judgment on that that criteria.
A couple other questions that might be the opposite of what Betty was asking here on page 5. Your bullets, you go down D, and then you go to the next paragraph. It's criteria that the consultant would use to recommend their thing, and you have a variety of criteria, which makes sense. And then you have word public acceptance in there. I don't know what that is reference to other than if you're thinking like Las Osas, where they're trying to put a plant in the middle of this town. But we don't have that kind of situation, so I don't understand. Again, I see the words, but I don't know what that means in this context.
Well, I think they're in there in the sense that, you know, we talked earlier about public involvement in the process, and I think that by the time we're done with this process, you're going to need public acceptance of the project that you're going to put out. And if in fact we do list alternatives and have a town hall style meeting, right, you're going to get some idea of what the public wants. And if you decide to put a new treatment plant in the center of town, that may not be acceptable to the public. So that's kind of why that's in there, is it's more just to I think, delineate that there will be public involvement, and the public's going to need to buy into the project.
Well, I have no problem with public involvement. I have no problem with public buy into the project. I just don't see how a consultant is going to anticipate that. But we can move on, and we don't need to dwell on that. And I, like Betty, was concerned about the consultant, what criteria they use for recommending treatment alternatives, which that just outlines some criteria. But isn't that kind of like putting the cart before the horse? And maybe I misunderstand this process, because I would think they'd have to present all these different, and maybe you already explained it, all these different alternatives. There would be a matrix. And then is it up to them to recommend one, or is it really up to this governing body to decide which one they're going to go with?
I think what they're going to do is they're going to analyze a lot of different options. And I've looked at the one that the RFP, or for the facilities plan that Pismo Beach performed. They looked at a number of options, and then based on some of the criteria that are listed above, cost value, they're basically going to do a cost-benefit analysis and say, hey, this is the alternative that we would recommend. But I think that there is a lot of staff input into that decision as we go through this process. It isn't solely, here's the scope of work, go away and come back. I think that there's a lot of staff consultant interaction throughout this process. And ultimately, this board will have to...
Bruce, may I elaborate on that, since my name is used in vain? What I mean when I see these kind of things is that, let's say we agree on B, but we would like to design hooks. I call them design hooks that can go to C, that you haven't done anything in B to preclude you going up to the next step. And I think all the designs, to me anyhow, should have the flexibility to move up to another level and not cut off any growth, because you could select approaches that just won't allow you to grow. And they're very austere, and they work fine, and they're reliable. But as soon as the state changes a rule on cleaning levels or whatever, then you're dead in the water. So I think, because it is such a long process, and we never know what the state's going to do, you have to have the design hooks to have this thing grow or spiral up to the next level of requirements, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
That makes sense. And then I guess, you know, if you went up to where it says upgrade options include, we can always put the proverbial but should not be limited to. And then when we actually get a consultant on board, we can more clearly delineate exactly which alternatives or a phased approach, or because I think if you look at the Carollo's time schedule, they basically pointed out that you could go to full secondary, and then at a later date on one of their drawings they had, they actually put sand filters over here. And I think it's fairly easy for them. I mean, it's pretty much probably cookie cutter stuff out of a manual to say, you know, 500,000 gallons a day of sand filters is going to cost you X. So if we were to just include the language upgrade options include but are not limited to, it might buy that flexibility. Or I can try and craft some language under and add a...
Either way, just so we don't open Pandora's box and have them study every possible alternative there is in the world, we don't want to go to that extreme either.
Well, I think in some ways, when this proposal goes out, they probably know as much about what we want as we do, because we're going to be dealing with engineering firms that are large national corporations that are very experienced in producing this kind of product.
They probably know more than most of us know, maybe not you.
I hope so.
On page 6, at the finished product, you get 25 deliverable copies. Earlier ones, you got 10. So I assume the earlier ones were for staff, and then now you're upping it to this governing body. And then what are the other 5 for? I'm just curious.
Well, I anticipate that those documents are going to be circulated around, and actually I anticipated almost, at one point I had 35 in there, because as time goes on, somebody walks in and says, or we go to the next phase, you keep handing out
right.
the documents.
Well, that's what I was wondering about, because the next phase is the environmental and the financial, and that they're going to need copies of it, as well as whoever actually designs the plants, the drawings and all that, the construction. But is that what you alluded to earlier? By getting the CD, then we can generate our own copies?
Yeah, once we have the CD, we can take it to the local copy shop, and they can crank them out.
Okay. And then on the same page six, the projected schedule, I understand your wording there, and I was just questioning, shouldn't there also add something about it can't go beyond the time schedule that was put in the Corella 9.5-year schedule? And I forget what it was for this task. It was so many years or so many months or something like that.
Well, the proposal as put out right here doesn't have time dates in it for completion. And that was a question I had going through this whole process. I'm certain we could add language in there to say it shouldn't last longer than X. My concern is that if you look at the time schedule, we generate a selected alternative, we publish a draft facilities master plan, and then that phase of the project kind of stops for a while, and we go into the financial plan.
Right,
and
right.
So, you know, maybe if we need to have a time schedule built in or a date built in for an alternative selection / facility draft facility plan preparation, I was going to leave it up. I was going to wait for the consultant to bring it back to me and tell me how long he thinks it's going to take.
I think that's highly desirable. I just was wondering if we don't need to put some kind of cap on it. That's all. It's the only question I was asking.
And I guess the other
thing, I don't need an answer tonight.
That can be negotiated while we're doing the contract.
Yeah,
I would
okay.
imagine.
That's so. Fine. That's fine. A few more questions. On page 7, just a stupid question. Down at the bottom, 6, cooperative purchasing. Why is that even in this document?
You know, I think that's just been a standard general term and condition in Morro Bay contracts. And when I was looking through it the other day, I'm going to have a leg up when it comes to the other phases, I would imagine, due to familiarity with the project design, some of those parameters. So I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that being an issue, to be honest.
I just bring it up as a point for you to consider. Oh, and on page 12, number 4, the very last sentence, the last paragraph, the district, prior to undertaking extra work, this is the deal with change order. I'd like to suggest that the word prior be put in boldface. Again, based on our lift station, too, we got a lot of amendments, change orders after the fact.
Where am I looking here?
Page 12.4, uh-huh. The second paragraph, the last sentence, the words and district, and the third word prior, put that word prior in bold type.
Oh, sure.
And I apologize, I didn't have more time to read this, or I'd probably have more questions, but thank you.
Nat, do you have any further questions?
Yeah, just a couple. Most of them have been covered, but I do think, at least in my opinion, you should add some words in here about periodic reviews with the two boards, that they have reviews with us on a periodic basis, so that we don't... does it say that? Did I miss it? Or?
Yeah, you missed it.
Did I miss it? Sorry about that.
It's a number of
well, you know, the way I envision it, just the way it's written with the consultant bringing back...
What page?
On page 5, number 3, bringing back the draft at 3367 and 90%. And then on page 6... the fact that you're going to need to allow for sufficient meetings with advisory boards, Morro Bay City Council, and Cayucas Sanitary District. I think, in my mind, that was just sort of implicit in the whole thing, is that we're not going out and doing this without keeping the boards informed on a regular basis of progress, questions, because, you know, during this time, it's very likely we're going to need direction or have questions of the board and say, hey, do you would you rather have this or this? And I can't give you a specific example, but I think, you know, this isn't a black and white situation. I think there's a lot of gray built into this thing just because of the nature of the project and the nature of the district and the city. So I'm certain that we will be back in front of you bringing progress reports and or questions for direction.
Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Except that I do think, you know, as was said earlier, hopefully they'll have meetings with the public before they make their decision. But you really need that feedback. We saw what happened with Corolla not getting that feedback. And, you know, they almost lynched him there when he came up with the plan. The other thing is, hold on a minute. On page 4, you were asking for some help maybe in wordsmithing, but on that last line on paragraph 3, if you took out the "and" after long-term wastewater treatment and just add "and value" for the two communities, then that just, you know, that just makes sure that they're aware that there's more than just the dollars.
Mm-hmm. Say that again, please. I'm lost.
I think he's got it.
Page 4.
It would read cost-effective long-term wastewater treatment and value for the two communities.
We got it.
Thank you.
Mr. Bell, any questions? All right. I just would like to comment. My biggest question was about the 20-year cycle or time period, and I think we've discussed that. So having said enough about the 20-year time schedule, my concern right now is we've suggested a number of changes to Bruce. On page 12, we have a award schedule, item number 6, and it says we'd like to issue this RFP Monday, November 21st, and how can we make these changes, get these two boards to review those changes and get this thing out by the 21st?
Hey, Robert.
Yes.
I don't think that they need to bring anything back to us. I think they got our input and they're off and running.
Is that adequate?
Yeah, that's kind of what I envisioned, is to get, you know, if there were changes to be made, I can easily make the changes tomorrow, get what I need to do to be ready to issue this thing early next week. I may not have it out Monday, but I'd like to get it out ASAP, because otherwise I've got to keep moving my acceptance date back.
No, that's exactly my concern here, that we keep this moving. Rob, you and Tim both reviewed this document, I understand. So would we be expecting that you would do that again before it went out?
Yeah, and I'm glad you raised the issue. There are a few just minor clerical modifications that we don't want to burden the bodies with that we'll probably be agreeing to. Staffs will have to agree to them. But
order then to request staff to make the changes that we've discussed this evening and issue the RFP and try to get it out by Monday, November 21st. Betty, was it yours or Melody's suggestion that the item number 2, receive proposals, be extended till January 20th, I think?
Yeah, that was my suggestion.
Okay,
right.
So we'd want to make that change.
Was it the 20th or all the way to the end of January?
End of January.
I was heading for the end of January, but
yeah.
Wasn't that cramping you on the 23rd of your date of award?
The schedule is going to be adjusted back as because we're still going to need a month to review and evaluate proposals, do interviews if required. So whatever date I put for receive proposals, I'll just adjust the dates accordingly.
I'd go for the end of January then to get as many of them as we could from the finest firms that we can.
And I think we'll get better proposals if
mm-hmm.
they have a time to
I think
do
so.
A good job. So agree with that. So.
All right, so we're looking for a motion to direct staff to proceed with the consultant procurement process by publicly noticing the RFP as corrected or
as modified.
Modified. There you go.
So moved.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None.
Cayuca, same motion?
Same motion.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Bruce. Good job.
Yeah, I think both staffs and Bruce did a great job, and obviously the two legal beagles had an input too. I'm sure they slowed up the process, though.
That's what they're paid for.
This is Bruce, and on behalf of at least Cayuga staff, I want to thank Bruce. His input's invaluable.
All right, next on our agenda is to schedule the next joint meeting. We're running into the holidays. Bruce, did you have any proposed idea for the next meeting? Or I know we're going
well,
the
real
holiday.
Question is if you want to do a December meeting, and that's kind of contingent upon whether the attorneys think we can hammer out a deal with regional board between then and now.
I think we can. We want to be optimistic, and I think we should schedule one. Sorry.
Well, we can make a contingent on whether there's anything to put on the agenda.
If we don't come to it, we'll cancel it.
Suggest the third Thursday of December, giving the regional board more time.
Which is the what date?
It's the 15th.
Is that the third Thursday?
Yes.
How about the fourth Thursday?
22nd.
No, you don't want to go there.
How about the 29th?
No.
No.
You don't do it between Christmas and New Year's.
We're looking at the 15th.
I think the 15th is it. What do you think?
15th is fine here. Are we okay with the 15th?
Thursday?
Thursday the 15th?
Why not?
Yeah.
All right.
And that'll be contingent on whether there is anything to put on an agenda for us.
Very
possible
good.
15.
Mayor, can I bring up one point before we close? Today's Tribune, I don't know if everybody had a chance to see it, Los Osos, and then carried over, but I think the point that's germane to us, and we're not Los Osos, it's quoting that the state loan to Los Osos is 2.3%. It's got some private finance guy quoting that with the risk in their state, if they lost the loan, it'd probably be 6.5%. And then there's another little quote in there that the A's, the lowest cap, is stating that there will be no federal funding for them. And they're building a whole new plant. They're not just modernizing one. So what makes anybody think that we're going to get in line for any federal funding? Just assuming from today's article.
Well, are they saying that there would be no federal funding at all or because of the change
It just quoted that there would be no federal funding, no clarification. That if they lost the state, there would be no federal funding is what the quote was.
Because my impression was that was because they were changing it, that the funding had been there for that specific plant. I'm not saying for sure, but that was my impression from it.
I have one announcement I'd like to make, if this is the appropriate time. This Saturday at the Veterans Hall in Morro Bay, 8:30 to 1 o'clock, the SLOCOG is sponsoring a visionary program that's asking all of the coastal communities, Cayucas, Cambria, Morro Bay, North Coast. All the North Coast to come there and interact. It's a free workshop. There'll be food there. You can be there for part of it. You can be there for all of it. I think it's real important, particularly for the community leaders who are sitting at the other end of the table, to be there, as well as people in your community. Regular people are invited to come. So I hope you'll spread the word and show up on Saturday.
We'll be there.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further? All right, then may I hear a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Cayucas?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.